This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا أما بعد We begin by thanking and praising Allah, and we beseech Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with salutations, compliments, peace, mercy, and blessings. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us. We ask Allah to allow us to benefit from what He has taught us, and we ask Allah to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We seek Allah's protection and refuge from information that does not bring us closer to Him or His pleasure, from a heart which does not tremble at His remembrance, from an eye which does not shed tears, and from a nafs that does not find satisfaction. We affirm that nothing is possible except if Allah makes it so, and He is the one capable of making the most difficult achievable. As to what follows, we have been discussing over the past few months, once a month, the ways to attain the love of Allah, how to be beloved to Allah, the Most High, the Most Merciful, the Most Perfect. We said that we claim to love Allah, but truly we want to be of those that Allah Himself loves. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, that there are the believers that Allah loves and they love Allah. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. So we have been mentioning 10 ways to attain the love of Allah as extracted from the work of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. And we began with the fourth in our last meeting together. We started the fourth one. So does anybody who attended before remember, let us quickly remind ourselves what the first three were. The first one was? Anybody remember? The first one we said was قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ, reading, reciting the Qur'an with contemplation, with reflection. Would you be so kind as to pull the door behind you? Thank you. Reciting the Qur'an with tadabbur, with contemplation and pondering, asking questions, seeking lessons and reflections that are relevant that we can apply in our lives. That's number one. Anybody remember any of the others? Very good. النوافل, التقرب إلى الله بالنوافل بعد الفرائض. So we seek closeness to Allah by fulfilling the obligatory acts of worship. And once we fulfill the obligatory acts of worship, we now go to the next level of not just doing what's obligatory, but doing voluntary acts of worship because I love my Creator. And so seeking closeness to Allah, and so that is something that earns the love of Allah. And number three, anybody remember number three? دوام ذكري على كل حال, to consistently and continuously be in a state of remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah mentally, verbally with the tongue, and contemplating and doing actions that are pleasing to Allah. Dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned many different examples of dhikr. Last time we were together, we started the fourth. The fourth sabab. Anybody remember what it was? Yes, very good. We talked about the meaning of the word ithar. Ithar, to give preference to what Allah loves over what I am desiring, over what my desires are. Itharu mahabbihi ala mahabbika inda ghalabati al-hawa. So those moments when my desires are trying to take the upper hand, that I give preference to what Allah loves over what I am desiring at that moment. We talked about hawa, we talked about desires and wishes and whims, and we said that to reach this level of mahabba, to reach this level of love, so there needs to be a multi-step process. And we said step one, everything good? It would be wonderful if you can make sure it's on. Jazakallah khairan. The first is, we said, قهر هوى النفس, to overcome the hawa, the desires. We talked about how there are desires that are praiseworthy and those that are blameworthy. And the ones that are blameworthy are the ones that lead us to something which is impermissible or something which is displeasing to Allah. We left off at the advice of the scholar Ibn al-Jawzi, who gives examples about how to overcome those desires. So a person may have some desires, may have some inclinations, some leanings, wishes that are going to lead us away from Allah or lead us towards actions or statements or behavior patterns that are displeasing to Allah. So he gives us a multi-step process, a seven-step process for how to overcome this hawa. Number one, he says, التفكر أن الإنسان لم يخلق للهوى العاجل وإنما للنظر في العواقب والعمل للآجل فلو كان نيل المشتهى في كل حال فقيرا لما بخس حظ الآدمي الشريف منه وزيد في حظ البهائم وفي حظ الآدمي من العقل وتفضيله به مع بخس حظه من الهوى وما يكفي في فضل هذا وذم ذلك. He says that the step one is to contemplate, to reflect, to think deeply, to pause, stop, and to think about how, as a human being, I was not created for the purpose of fulfilling my immediate wishes and desires. That's not why Allah created me. So we have these desires, usually they're of a physical nature, they deal with something physical, and I want instant gratification. Right? This is the disease and the trial of the day that we live in, the era that we are in. Instant gratification. I want something and I want it now. And those of you that are parents, you're probably all struggling with your some of your family members. But even as adults, we have the same problem too. Let us not only blame our kids. We have the same problems as well. Instant gratification. So I want now. So he says, reflect over the purpose of my creation. I wasn't created to fulfill all of my pleasures and desires right now. That's not why Allah made me. لَمْ نُخْلَقْ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا. That's not why Allah created me. And he mentions to compare and contrast between the human being and the other mammals, animals, in the animal kingdom. Right? So they say the human being is one species out of the animal kingdom. Right? So you have trees and rocks and rivers, and then you also have animals, right? You have baha'im or dawab, something that walks on the earth or moves in this earth. So amongst all of these, the human being is unique, sticks out from amongst the giraffes and the monkeys and the cows and the sheep and the birds and the fish. You can keep going. The human is different. They breathe, we breathe. They eat, we eat. They poop, we poop too. They procreate, we procreate. They have homes, we have homes. They seek shelter from, the elements, we seek shelter from the elements. They try to get food, we try to get food. Very similar. What makes us different? How am I different than an animal? An animal only does these things. The animals are only fulfilling their physical desires and needs. Needs too, it's a need. I need to eat, otherwise you're gonna die. You need to drink. No problem. The animal too, the animal knows if I don't eat, I'm gonna die. So the animal spends its efforts in pursuit of food. But if that's all I'm doing, if that's all I'm doing, if every time I have a physical desire, I just fulfill it, then how am I different than an animal? So when I am at that moment where my hawa, where my nafs is overcoming, and I just want to just give in, even though I know this is not permissible, or this is not healthy, or this is not pleasing to Allah, but I just want to do it for God's sake. Well, not for God's sake. Pause. He says, step one, reflect over the fact that I wasn't created to go through this process of every time I want something, just do it. That's not whether, that's how the animals are made, but that's not how I was made. I heard someone recently talk about how they really enjoy the month of Ramadan. Right? We enjoy the month of Ramadan. What makes Ramadan different is in Ramadan there is a sawm. What is a sawm? A sawm huwa al-habs. To stop yourself. To hold back. The rest of the year, we eat, we drink, no problem. We sleep all night, no problem. Those aren't haram things. In Ramadan, we stay away from food and drink, which is perfectly halal, but we stop ourselves consciously and willingly. We give up some of that sleep. We give up from some of our wealth, extra sadaqah. So we are purposely, and in turn, we find all of this happiness. MashaAllah. Everybody loves Ramadan. Why? Because you are fulfilling your purpose. You are fulfilling the purpose of your creation. We were created to submit and surrender to Allah. We were not created to submit and surrender to our desires. If we submit and surrender to our desires, we are animals. And who wants to be an animal? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the son of Adam. So number one is to reflect over the purpose of our creation, that we were not created for the purpose of fulfilling all of our desires and giving in. That's how the animals are, and I am supposed to be different than the animals. Number two. أَنْ يُثْقَى فِي عَرَاقِبِ الْهَوَى. So he says to contemplate at what the end result will be. So I'm at that moment again where my hawa, where my desires are going to overcome. And I want to just give in. So I stop and I think, why was I created? I'm different than the animals. Number two, I think to myself, what will be the end result? What will be the end result of giving in to this desire? What am I going to miss out on? What are the different rewards and ajr and thawab and pleasure of Allah that I'm going to be missing out on? I'm going to be missing out on these opportunities. If I don't give in to these, maybe I'm not going to be able to do some other acts that would earn me reward with Allah. This is the aqibah. This is going to be the end result. So yeah, I will get this desire, then what? I will look back and recognize what I've missed out, and I'll feel bad. That I've missed out on opportunities for khair, for goodness, whether in my dunya or in the akhirah. Number three. أن يتصور العاقل انقضاء غرضه من هواه ثم يتصور الأذى الحاصل عقب اللذة فإنه يراه يربي على الهوى أضعافا يربي على الهوى أضعافا. He says number three, أن يتصور that the person of intellect and intelligence visualizes what harms they will have after giving in to these desires. So we mentioned number two was to think about what good I'm going to miss out on. Also think about what harms I will put in my way. What are the side effects? You know, when you get a medicine or a drug and you go to the pharmacist and the pharmacist gives you a prescription and it says, by the way, there are some side effects. This may cause diarrhea and vomiting and itchiness and drowsiness and lack of sleep or too much sleep or anxiety or this or that. And you're like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I thought I'm supposed to be taking medicine to make me feel better. There are side effects, right? No, sometimes we need those medicine even with the side effects. So fulfilling the hawa also has side effects. It's temporary enjoyment. At that moment, oh, feels good, fun, I enjoy, I'm happy, I'm relaxed. But what are the side effects? What are the negative things that are going to come into my life as a result of fulfilling this desire? Stop and think about that. And list them out to yourself. 1, 2, 3, etc. Number four. أن يتصور ذلك في حق غيره. Number four, all of those harms and side effects, think about how it's going to, think of those negative side effects with respect to others. If I just fulfill this desire, how is this going to negatively impact other people? And this is a very important point, because oftentimes we feel that our sins or our poor choices only affect us. No, I'm doing something in private, it's just me. But that's dead wrong. That's absolutely wrong. We are human beings, and Allah created us in this dunya, in this earth, together. And when one of us makes a poor decision, it will affect the others around them. Even if it's a very personal thing. If it's like, no, this is between me and God. I know this is between you and God. But you are going to be causing negative impacts to creation around you, not just humans. Look at the opposite. If a person is righteous, if a person is upright and God conscious, and they are striving to do actions of khair and goodness and sincere to Allah, doesn't that make everyone around him or her in a better situation? Even if they're not doing anything to you, they are doing salah and sawm and dhikr and mashallah, and they're staying away from haram things, you're going to benefit. Even if they're not giving you anything. But when you are in the presence of someone who is righteous, you will benefit. And the opposite is not the case. So if I'm doing something that is harmful, that is sinful, disobedient to Allah, I'm going to affect those around me as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, he mentioned five things that the people engage, five different actions that the people engage in, and it warrants and causes certain punishments from Allah that affect everyone. And we mentioned that in our Wednesday class. You can check the video, inshallah, it's a long hadith, and we spoke about it in detail. Also from the story of Musa alayhi salam, when Musa with his qawm, Bani Israel, and they were suffering from drought, and they had no water. They told Musa, make dua for us, so we can have rain, water. And Musa made dua. Allah told Musa, you are prevented from water because there is one person amongst you that is asi, that is persistently, defiantly disobedient. So you're not getting rain because of that one person. So everyone's affected. So Musa alayhi salam turned to the people. He said, there is someone amongst us who's persistently disobeying Allah, and Allah is not going to give us rain as long as you're amongst us. So you need to get out. Who's going to leave at that time? No one wants to be embarrassed. So this person knew who he was. So he made tawbah to Allah. He repented to Allah. And he asked Allah for forgiveness. And he asked Allah to be concealed. He said, oh Allah, all this time I've been disobeying you, you concealed and protected me and kept me covered. And now I am repenting to you, keep me concealed. And then it started raining. So Musa said to Allah, oh Allah, you said you would not give us rain until this person leaves. But no one left, and we have rain. What happened? Allah said that person made tawbah, and their tawbah was so sincere, because of them I give you rain. Musa said, I don't know who this person is. Allah said to Musa, I did not expose him when he was sinning. You think I'm going to expose him when he repented? In the akhirah, in the hereafter, every person is responsible only and exclusively for their actions. Because the akhirah is a place of complete justice. But in this dunya, we are a fitna for one another. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We are a trial for one another. We benefit each other, we also harm each other as well. Allah says, are you going to be patient? Will you be patient? So in this dunya, we affect each other. We have an impact. When you are righteous, I benefit. When I'm sinful, you will be harmed. We impact one another. And you can't escape that. That's how Allah made us as human beings. We're related and tied and connected. We're sharing this world together. In the akhirah, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Every soul is held accountable for their own good and bad. No one's going to be paying the price for anyone's wrong. No one's going to be rewarded for anyone else's good. But in this dunya, we are a test for one another. Khair and shar. Number five. أن يتفكر فيما يطلبه من اللذات فإنه سيخبره العقل أنه ليس بشيء وإنما عين الهوى عمياء. He said, number five, reflect and contemplate over what it is that you're seeking of this desire. You're at that moment where hawa and desire is going to overcome. Just take a moment and pause and think, what is it that I really want to fulfill? What desire is it right now? Is it really that special? Is it really that amazing? Is it that enjoyable? Or is it very temporary and small? Is it really worth it? As they say. And he says, if you really ponder and question yourself, you will come to the conclusion with your aql, with your intellect, that it's not worth it. But then he says this proverb in Arabic, إِنَّمَا عَيْنُ الْهَوَى عَمْيَا. The eye for the desire is blind. The eyes for the desire, just like how you know they say your eyes is bigger than your stomach when you see all this food and you want to get all of this food, and then you get through halfway like, I can't finish. What was I thinking? Well, when I was serving, I was thinking, well, I'm going to come for seconds. I'm going to finish all this and I'm going to come for seconds. Right? Same thing. So at that moment of hawa, of desire, the ayn, the eye that is looking at the desire, is actually blind. It only sees that desire in front of it. It doesn't see the outcome and the long term. There's no foresight. That's why you have to pause and think. And the aql will tell you that aynul hawa amya, that this eye that is recognizing this desire is a blind eye. Number six. أن يتدبر عز الغلبة وذل القهر فما من أحد غلب هواه إلا أحس بقوة وعز وما من أحد غلبه هواه إلا وجد في نفسه ذل القهر ذل القهر. He says, imagine the dignity and the honor and the strength that you will feel by overcoming your desire. Because he says, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ, nobody ever overpowered their desire except that they felt immense strength and dignity and honor. And there is no one that gave in to their desires except that they felt humiliated and weak. So imagine how you would feel to feel strong and seek the feeling of strength. And think about how frustrating and painful it is to feel humiliated and weak. And reflect over that. As-sabi', seven. أن يتفكر في فائدة المخالفة للهوى من اكتساب الذكر الجميل في الدنيا وسلامة النفس والعرض والأجر في الآخرة ثم يعكس فيتفكر لو وافق هواه في حصول عكس ذلك إلى الأبد. ولنفرض لهاتين الحالتين حالتي آدم ويوسف عليهما السلام وفي لذة هذا وهم هذا. He says, number seven, finally, after you go through all of this step-by-step thought process, this is all a mental, everything we're talking about right now, you're like paused and you're going through this thought process in your head. And the final step of that thought process is to reflect over the benefits that you will acquire from opposing and rejecting your desires in terms of ajr and reward and praise that Allah will reserve for you in this dunya and in the akhirah. And also think of the opposite, that if I give in to this desire, the humility and the pain and the negative side effects that I will have to endure. And then he said something amazing. He said, reflect finally as you close this mental thought process and you come to a conclusion, should I fulfill this desire or I shouldn't? Think about the story of Adam and the story of Yusuf. Allah told us both stories in the Quran. Adam alayhi salam, Allah told him, this Jannah is for you. كُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا رَغَدًا. You and your wife, eat from this Jannah whatever you want. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. But don't come close to this one tree. How many trees were in the Jannah at that time with Adam? Allahu A'lam. So many. Allah told him, don't come close to this tree. What did Shaytan do? Shaytan come to them and said, oh, this one's the best one. هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Adam, I'm going to direct you to a tree that will grant you immortality and a dominion and wealth that will never run out. Oh. The human being wants to live forever and have wealth that never ends. That's what the human being wants. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ So he deluded them. Shaitan, he deluded them. He painted a false picture and convinced them that this which is fake is real. It's fake, but it looks so real. Because he was really good at marketing. He was a master advertiser. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا And he swore to them, by God, I am sincerely advising you for your own good. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm telling you for your own benefit. إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ I'm a sincere advisor to you. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا So they ate from that tree. They ate from that tree. Their awrah became exposed. And they realized, we weren't supposed to do that. They did. They ate from the tree. Then they realized it wasn't worth it after all. They made tawbah and Allah forgave them because whoever makes tawbah sincerely, Allah promised to forgive them. But that doesn't mean there's no consequences. The fact that Allah forgives you doesn't mean that you have to face consequences for your poor choices. So there's a consequence. قُلْنَا اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا You gotta descend. You gotta get down from here. You're forgiven. But you gotta get down. You can't be in this Jannah anymore. And in dunya there's gonna be mashaqqa and hardship and toil. What you gonna do? That's a consequence. That's the story of Adam alayhi salam. Then Allah told us about the story of Yusuf. Yusuf had all the cards stacked against him. He's a young man. He was young in age. He had all of his strength and youth and zeal and energy. And he was pretty. Beautiful, handsome young man. And he's in the house of Al-Aziz, of the emperor, the governor, the person of might, the leader, the ruler at that time. And his wife wanted him for herself. So she seduced him. And she was very beautiful too. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She got him in the room and she locked the door. She didn't just lock. غَلَّقَتْ The scholars of Tafsir said there was lock after lock after lock. Meaning, number one, well, there's nowhere for you to run to. But also, number two, no one's going to find you here. One of the things that holds us back from committing mistakes is the fear of embarrassment. I don't want to be embarrassed. So now you're free from embarrassment. Nobody going to find you in here. It's just you and me. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هِيْتَ لَكَ So he could have just gone ahead with her plan. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have known. Because she also had an incentive to keep it secret too. If you really analyze the situation, it's crazy. So he has every reason to go forward. Because she also, he's a abd, he's a slave boy there. He's a servant boy. So it's shameful for her that everybody finds out that she's having relations with the servant boy. So he doesn't have any risk of being shamed or embarrassed. No risk of that happening. But still. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّيَ أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ He said, I ask Allah for protection. He is my Lord and Master and Creator, and He was excellent in His dealing and treatment of me. So in this moment of complete privacy, he remembered Allah. And so he ran away. And that's it. It ended there. She wasn't going to go without a fight. She grabbed him until his clothes ripped. And then she ended up blaming him. And she's in a position of authority. So who's going to listen to his side of the story? Anybody going to be interested in his side of the story? No. Because she's the woman in charge. And she had him thrown into prison. And he's in jail. For years he's in jail. And then he's forgotten about. His cellmate, who he had such an impact on. قَالَ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. He said, when you get out and you're working for the king, remember, he mentioned me to the king. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. The guy came out of prison, he ended up working for the king, he forgot all about Yusuf. So Yusuf was stuck in that jail. بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. For multiple years. Just left there. Nobody asks about Yusuf. Nobody cares about him. Yes. Would we ever guess that this was the man who would end up being one of the ministers of the political establishment there? He's forgotten. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan and created a situation where Yusuf would shine. And his, before he reaches that status, by the way, his innocence gets proclaimed. So the king finally, there was a situation, he had a dream. Finally he says, bring Yusuf to me. They come to take Yusuf. He says, go back to the king. Irji' ila rabbika. Fas'alhu ma balu niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. Go back to your king before I come and tell him to go investigate the case of all of those women back in the day. So the king investigates. قلنا حاشا لله ما علمنا عليه من سوء قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق أنا راودته عن نفسه. The truth came out until the very woman that was seducing him, she herself said, the truth has come out. I was trying to overpower him and he didn't want. The truth came out. But it took many years. And then Yusuf became at a status where he was in charge and he was a minister. And then his family, he brings them from the place, from the civilization of Canaan, he brings them to Egypt. And his family is honored and hosted. And Ya'qub, and that's the beginning of Bani Israel. وَخَرَّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they prostrated. And Yusuf is there, على العرش, on a throne. A person of authority, dignity, respect, عِز, strength, honor. Why? Because he overcame his desire. All of these are the outcomes of overcoming the desire. Inshallah, when we're done, you can ask questions bi-idhnillah. Write them down so you don't forget them. So this was the 7-step process that Ibn al-Jawzi recommends going through, a 7-step mental thought process that he recommends going through at the moment when you feel the hawa overcoming. طيب. Number two, we're talking about how to prefer what Allah loves over what I love. We said the first one is overcoming the hawa, the desires. Number two is مخالفتُ هوى الناس. Number two, to be able to prefer what Allah loves over what I love, which is this chapter we're on, to attain the love of Allah, is to go against, the desires of the other people around me. So in the first section we talked about my own desires. But sometimes we do things not because I desire them, but because that's what everyone around me is doing. And we don't want to be weird. We don't want to be the ones that stick out. We don't want to be the ones that are different. So a lot of times we do a lot of impermissible things that Allah does not love because everyone else is doing it. صح ولا لا? وذلك بعدم الانحراف معهم أو الانحراف وراء رغبائهم رغائبهم فيما لا يوافق الحق بل يؤثر المؤمن ما يحبه الله على ما يحبه الناس سواء كان ذلك لنفسه أو للناس. We have to go away in the opposite direction, al-inhiraf, to lean away from that which the people desire or that which is going to be pleasing to them. In the case and in the situation where it does not agree with what Allah loves and prefers. Whether that is for my own personal gain or for the gain and benefit of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قد بين في كتابه سبيل المؤمنين وأمر باتباعهم فقال سبحانه جزاكم الله خير وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. الله said in Surah Al-An'am, which is chapter number 6, verse 153. Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my path, Allah says. The path that I have chosen for you. It's a straight, upright path to follow. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. So follow this path and stick to it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلِ. And don't follow all of these offshoot paths. Small, narrow roads that are away from the path of Allah. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. That will separate you and disunite you and break you apart and take you away from the path of Allah. So following what Allah loves is صراط المستقيم. You know, 17 times a day when we stand in salah and we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Ameen. That is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the path of doing what He loves. And the people on it are الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The people on that path are the people that you have blessed, O Allah. Why? Because they did what you love and you loved them. Allah told us the people on this path are النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Prophets, truthful people, martyrs, righteous. Allah loves these people. So this is, the Sirat al-Mustaqim is a path of people that Allah loves. And we are here to talk to each other about how to be amongst those that Allah loves. So be on that path. Don't follow all of these narrow alleyways and small roads and streets here and there and there and here that will end up separating and breaking you apart. These are the subul of an-nas. These are the pathways of the people. This is what they love. This is what people in this dunya praise. But it's not what Allah loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. سورة النساء, which is chapter number 4, verse 115. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever disobeys and defies the messenger after the messenger has come and made very clear to you what is guidance and truth, and on top of that, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And here is the punchline or the point in this verse related to our topic, that he follows a path that is different than the path of the upright mu'mineen, of the righteous believers. This is the path of disbelievers and people that do that which Allah displeases. Allah says, we will lead them onto the path that they themselves have taken for themselves, and they will be destined for the hellfire, and that is the worst possible place that you can end up. Allah also made very clear to us the pathways of criminals and wrongdoers and oppressors. Allah said in the Quran, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah said, we made the verses and the signs very clear and recognizable, so that the pathways of the mujrimeen, the pathways of the criminals, the methodology of the criminals, the behavior patterns of those that are displeasing to Allah will be very obvious. Allah in this perfect religion of His has made very clear to us the truth and falsehood, so that we know what to follow and what to stay away from. Allah in the Quran told us about the prophets and the messengers. He also told us about Fir'aun and Qarun and Haman and Abu Lahab and the people from Qawm Ad and the people of Qawm Thamud and the people of Qawm Lut and the people of Qawm Nuh. Allah told us who are the people that are victorious and upon truth and justice, and Allah told us who are the people that are upon falsehood and oppression and arrogance and disbelief. These were victorious and saved, these were punished and destroyed. Allah in this perfect balanced deen has made clear to us what is correct and how to follow it, and what is unhealthy and criminal and how to stay away from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even Rasulullah, Allah gave him clear directions of who to associate himself with and who not to associate himself with. So Allah told the messenger in Surah Al-Qasas, which is chapter 28. Someone can fact check that. I think it's 28. Verse 87. ولا يصدنك عن آيات الله بعد إذ أنزلت إليك وادع إلى ربك ولا تكونن من المشركين. Allah says, don't let the disbelievers pull you and drag you away from the verses of Allah and the signs of Allah once they have been revealed to you. But call to Allah and don't be amongst the disbelievers, the idolaters and those that worship other than Allah. Don't be amongst them. On the flip side, in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah said, Jazakum Allah khairan. On the flip side, in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah told His Messenger who to associate Himself with. Mawlana, tafaddal. Jazakallah khair. Adkhiluhu. Adkhilu hadha rajul al-wasim. Wabnata. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair. تفضل شيخ فرحان زبيري جزاك الله خير وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Thank you for visiting us. Your presence is appreciated. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah told His Messenger who to associate himself with. So He said, Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Allah said, be patient with who? With the people that are calling upon Allah. They're worshipping Allah by day, by morning, and by evening. They're seeking the reward from Allah. And don't go away from them because you are seeking some worldly gain or benefit. وَلَا تُطِعْ, and don't follow and obey those that have rejected and turned a blind eye and were heedless to our signs, and they followed their desires, and their end affairs were in loss. Their balance sheets at the end were big red, negative. They were in loss. Allah said, these people, they follow their hawa. What are we talking about here? Overcoming hawa, not following the hawa. Sometimes it's not my hawa, but it's the hawa of those people. The Prophet told the Messenger, don't follow those people who are following their hawa. Stay away from them. Allah told us in the Quran, don't be in the presence of those that are mocking Allah and His deen. فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Don't stick around in those gatherings until they change the subject and they talk about something which is pure and healthy. Even being in the presence of those that are speaking ill or mocking God or His messengers or His religion, we're not supposed to be in those gatherings. We should not expose ourselves to that kind of speech and that kind of behavior. To close this point, a man wrote a letter to Dawood al-Ta'i. كتب رجل إلى داود الطائي يطلب منه الموعظة فكتب إليه أما بعد فرض من الدنيا باليسير مع سلامة دينك كما رضي أقوام بالكثير مع ذهاب دينهم والسلام. خير الكلام ما قل ودل. A man wrote to Dawood al-Ta'i, And he said, give me some advice. Give me some maw'idah. Give me some beneficial reminder that will bring me closer to Allah. So he wrote him, not even two lines. In this book over here, it's a line and less than a half. Maybe if you use a big font, I don't know how many lines it'll be. But less than a line and a half. He said, أما بعد, as to what follows. Meaning he began by praising Allah and sending salutations upon his messenger. He said, as to what follows, then be content with something little from this dunya while maintaining the safety and security of your deen, just like how other people were content acquiring so much from this dunya, but they were okay with losing their deen. Wassalam. That was it. Number three. So we said number one is to overcome hawa, and we mentioned the seven-step thought process. Number two was to also go against the hawa of other people. And number three, as we come close to this section here, مُدَافَعَةُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَمُجَاهَدَةُ أَوْلِيَائِهِ, to push away and reject shaitan and to engage in war against shaitan and his allies. We got to be in a state of war against shaitan and his allies. And this is not the kind of war that you see in video games or on TV or what the news shows, clips here and there. No. Not that kind of war. There are no bullets in this war. There are no missiles in this war. There are no tanks in this war. There are no swords. There's no punching. There's no kicking. This is an internal battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمُ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيدِ. Allah said, a shaitan for you is a clear enemy. So consider him nothing but an enemy. Don't take him as a friend. Don't take him as, remember the story of Adam? إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I'm a sincere advisor to you. No. He is not a sincere advisor. He is an enemy. When does your enemy ever advise you sincerely for your benefit? It doesn't work like that. He wouldn't be your enemy. He'd be your friend. And shaitan is your enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Shaitan calls his party. Shaitan wants to grow his gathering so they will be his companions in the hellfire. And then while they're in the hellfire, they will blame him. And they will complain to God. Shaitan led us astray. And Shaitan will say, hey, don't blame me. Blame yourselves. I only invited you. You responded to the call. We don't have too much time left, actually just 5 minutes, and there are many verses in the Quran that are very relevant and pertinent, but I want to focus on one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, the final verse in Surah Al-Ankabut. Ali, look up what chapter number Surah Al-Ankabut is, please. Surah Al-Ankabut, anybody know? Yeah, what chapter number is that? 29? Okay, chapter 29, verse 69. The last verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those that participate in jihad, which is a noble word, we're not going to let anybody take that word away from us. For our sake, for Allah's sake, we will guide them to our paths. We will guide them to the paths that lead to Allah's pleasure. This jihad here is against the tests and the distractions and the hawa and the desires that we are tested with. How do we know? Well, look at the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. By the way, every surah in the Quran, the beginning of the surah and the end of the surah are connected. You just have to dig and find the relationship and the link. between the two. Surah Al-Ankabut begins how? How does it begin? Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah begins that surah by saying, the people really think that we are going to create them and they will just be left like that to just say, we believe, we're mu'min, we have faith, and they will not be tested? Do people really think that's going to happen? You just say, I'm a mu'min, no more test? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. We tested the people before as well. Allah will make very clear who are those that are truthful in their statement of belief. آمَنَّا, they said, we believe. Allah said, we will make it clear who is truthful in that statement and who is just empty talk. And then Surah Al-Ankabut concludes, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. You struggle and you persevere and you sacrifice, Allah will guide you to the paths that lead to His pleasure. So there can be no defeat of shaitan without fighting shaitan, without fighting his whispers and the temptations and the things that he beautifies. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan makes these false actions look pretty. Remember how we said in the story of Adam, he painted a false picture and then convinced them that that was a reality. That's what shaitan does. Paints something fake and makes it look really pretty. So we have to fight shaitan, and that's how we will overcome our desires, and that's one of the ways that we will attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next section, which is the fifth way to attain the love of Allah, and that's what we will be talking about next month. Next month, inshallah ta'ala. We are in October right now. I'll tell you, inshallah, our next appointment, because we do this once a month, folks, is going to be November 17th. The third Friday of November, November 17th, inshallah ta'ala, FFN. We will talk about number 5, مُطَالَعَةُ الْقَلْبِ لِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. Exposing the heart and internalizing with the heart the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be the fifth way that we can attain the love of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love Him and of those who have His love. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbika ya kareem. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your love and the love of those whom You love and the love of actions which bring us closer to You. Oh Allah, You are the most generous. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والله أعلم. I think it's time for صلاة العشاء. But if there are any questions, I will be available for you after salah, inshallah, because we have to do salah now, inshallah ta'ala. No, in the musalla, I will be available, inshallah, but it's time for Isha. I apologize, we didn't leave time for questions, inshallah, after salah. Assalamu alaikum.